talks about Egypt was still burying their firstborns. So it made that a point. It was in the midst of Egypt burying their firstborns that they left, and so the Egyptians would have seen them leaving triumphantly. It also made a point that God had destroyed all of Egypt's gods, destroyed their idols, basically had put judgment upon them. And then it lists the journeys. Okay, and specifically what this means is it listed each of their stopping points along their journey to enter the Holy Land, to enter the Promised Land. It specifically talks, this is all contained in chapter 33, specifically talks about Aaron's death at Mount Hor. And then instructions concerning the land, specifically when they were to enter the land, what they were to do with the inhabitants of the land, all of their idols and all of their gods and all of the things. These were instructions of what they were to do. So there was quite a bit within chapter 33, and we're going to go back and touch on the points of their journeys. So, but continuing with the summary, chapter 34. Chapter 34 was about setting the borders of the lands, okay, and appointing it to each of the tribes. Instructions concerning how they were going to distribute the parcels of the land according to each of the tribes. Chapter 35 talks specifically about the cities of the Levites. Remember, the Levites weren't, their inheritance was Yahweh himself, and so they didn't have land apportioned to them in their inheritance. However, they were to be set up with certain cities. And chapter 35 goes into what the cities, how they were to be set up, and that they had to have 48 cities total. And then it talked about specifically the pasture land that was to be set up around these cities. It was to be 2,000 cubits, which is approximately 3,000 feet or 914 meters. Okay. And then it goes into the cities of refuge. And all of the regulations surrounding the cities of refuge. Who was to go to the cities of refuge? What were to happen to them? You know, they were to be there until the high priest, you know, would pass away. So it was, all of that's contained in chapter 35. And then chapter 36 specifically focused on the inheritance and the daughters of Zelophehad. One of the things that was interesting about this is the fact that it sets a precedent. And the precedent was that the way that the land was to be apportioned and the inheritance was not transferable between the tribes. What happened here was that the brothers of Zelophehad had an issue wherein they said the daughters of Zelophehad were given an apportioned land. And so if they were to marry to any of the other tribes, that portion of land that was given to that tribe would be diminished and given to the other tribe. So they had issue with that. And so we find here in chapter 36, it sets a precedent because it specifically states, okay, the daughters of Zelophehad cannot marry outside the tribe. And it sets the precedent that says this land is to be distributed this way and it's not transferable. So whatever is for each tribe and a portion to each tribe stays with each of the tribes. So that's a brief summary. Again, extremely high level points of each of the chapters. And it's really meant for you to go back and go, well, I would like to read more about that. These are the chapters and what they involve. But I want to go into some of the reading, specifically going back to chapter 33. So we'll read chapter 33. We're going to go to Numbers 35, verses 5 through 8. So if you'll turn to Numbers 35, 5 through 8. 33, 5 through 8. It says, and the children of Israel removed from Ramses and pitched in Succoth. And they departed from Succoth and pitched in Etham, which is in the edge of the wilderness. And they removed from Etham and turned again to Pi-Hahiroth, which is before Baal-Zephon. And they pitched before Migdol. And they departed from before Pi-Hahiroth and passed through the midst of the sea into the wilderness, and went 3 days' journey in the wilderness of Etham, and pitched in Marah. So again, that was reading chapter 33, verses 5 through 8. I was tempted to say, let's read all of chapter 33, just to see how many of us would make it all the way through. Because if you read the Torah portion, you find out that in chapter 33, it basically reads exactly like this. And they went from here and they camped here. And then they picked up and they went there. And then from there, they picked up and went there. And from there, they picked up and went there. And it just goes on like this, and on and on and on. And you start to kind of go, wow, what? Why? Why is this important? What does this have to do in my life? Why should we be concerned? Why is it important to know about the journey? Specifically the points along the journey. And that's what I want to focus on. Realistically, I wanted to go back and look at every one of the points back through the Torah portions before this to find out what happened at each of those points. I didn't go through that. I just went real quickly. I didn't have the time to do that, so I went real quickly and found a source on the internet that had done something like this and had a map that associated with it. So that's what we're going to look at. It's just some high-level points. Remember, each of these numbers will have a number on the map associated with it. So we're just going to go through these briefly. Number one, Ramses. And Ramses, Israel was thrust out of Egypt. These are just, again, high-level happenings at each of the stopping points. Succoth. After the Hebrews left this first campsite, the Lord attended them in a cloud by day and in a pillar of fire by night. Pi-Hahiroth. That's where Israel passed through the Red Sea. Marah, the Lord healed the waters of Marah. Remember the bitter waters? Elim, Israel camped by the 12 springs of Elim. The wilderness of Sin, the Lord sent the manna and the quail to feed Israel. Continuing, Rephidim, Israel fought with Amalek. Mount Sinai was where he revealed the Ten Commandments. Sinai wilderness, Israel constructed the tabernacle. Wilderness camps, 70 elders were called to help Moses govern the people. Ezion Geber, Israel passed through the lands of Esau and Ammon in peace. Kadesh Barnea, Moses sent the spies into the promised land. Israel rebelled and failed to enter the land. Kadesh served as the main camp for Israel for many years. Eastern wilderness, Israel avoided conflict with Edom and Moab. Arnon River, Israel destroyed the Canaanites who fought against them. Mount Nebo, Moses viewed the promised land. Moses delivered his last messages there. Plains of Moab, the Lord told Israel to divide the land and dispossess the inhabitants. Jordan River, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground near Gilgal. Stones from the bottom of the Jordan River were placed as a monument for Jordan's waters. And Jericho, the children of Israel possessed and destroyed the city of Jericho. So now there's 18 different points that we looked at, and the next slide is a map. And the map shows their journeys. Whoops. Okay. So we kind of went through all their journeys. They started in Ramses, and they camped in Succoth, and this is approximately where they crossed the Red Sea. And we can kind of follow their journey southward to Mount Sinai, and then back up to Ezion Geber, and then here, Kadesh Barnea, which is where we talked about the spies. So if you take a look at Kadesh Barnea, okay, you see, you get an idea of how close they were to entering the land, how close they were at that point. But at that point, they failed. And then you see that they had to then, you know, take a southward route again and then go around and then come back up to the north. And so what specifically is important for us to know regarding the points along their path? See, it was a few months ago, I was talking to Rabbi Paul, you know, about reaching my 40th birthday. And to which he replied, "Oh, so you've had one wilderness journey." And I thought about that, and you know, this is what it's about. It's a wilderness journey. You see, God said, "I'm not going to strive with man forever, so it's going to be a limit of 120 years. Well, if you count one wilderness journey as 40 years, that's three wilderness journeys in a lifetime, if we're blessed with 120 years. And so it's important for us to know the path and the points along the stop. Why? Each of these was, what did God say? What did God say specifically about why he led them through the wilderness? He was going to find and prove that they would be a people willing to serve him. And each of those points was a place where God proved them in different ways. As I went through this, I found it amazing that how close they were to entering the land at Kadesh Barnea. I also found it amazing that if God wanted to, it could have been a straight path from Ramses this way straight through to Israel to enter the land. And so I asked myself, what was the reasoning in this? I find it interesting that, well, the things, some, we'll get to the lessons, I guess, later. There was a couple of other points that I wanted to discuss before getting there. And that's back in at the end of chapter 33, Numbers 33. We're going to read 52 through 53 first. And then the end of it. So 33, verse 52 and 53 say this: "And you shall possess the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein. For I have given you the land to possess it. And you shall divide the land by lot for an inheritance among your families. And to the more you shall give the more inheritance." 52 and 53, sorry. "Then you shall drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all of their pictures, and destroy all their molten images, and quite pluck down all their high places. And you shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land, and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it." Okay, so he's telling them, when you go into the land, all of the people that are in the land, you have to destroy them. Destroy their idols, destroy their pictures, destroy their gods. And then you ask the question why, and he answers later on in verse 55 and 56. He says, "If you don't drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which you let remain, of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and they'll vex you in the land where you dwell. Moreover, it will come to pass that I will do to you as I thought to do to them." How does this relate? Well, if you recall back, in the beginning, it talks about them leaving triumphantly in the eyes of the Egyptians. The Egyptians had been judged. And incidentally, what had happened to the Egyptians? God had destroyed all of their gods. He had cast judgment on them. And here we come to the end of the chapter, and it's almost as if the role could be reversed if they're not careful to do exactly what God asked them to do. In essence, God is telling them, you're going to enter the land and you need to wipe them out because this is the land that I've given you. And if you don't do what I told you, you'll see what's going to happen. They're going to continue to be a festering sore in your side. They're going to prick you. They're going to hurt you. And incidentally, if you don't do what I asked you to do when you go into the land, you're going to have the judgment that I had reserved for them. And so it just reminds us, God is at the core of our journeys. The 40 years in the wilderness and the stops, it's a proving journey. It's God proving us to know whether we will serve Him. So some lessons to take from this. Well, number one, it is a cyclical journey. I think that the soul wants to take the straight path. If you look back at the map, right? The soul belongs to God. It comes from God. It wants to go the straight path to the promised land. That's what the soul wants. But if you look at each of the stopping points along the journey and you think about what Israel did, those were where their flesh had come up and murmured, where the flesh had desires of food, of water. And it was the flesh that caused that path to be lengthened. So that instead of going through the straight path, it was the flesh that caused the path to be roundabout and going around to learn, okay, you're not ready yet. You're not ready yet. You're not ready yet. You know, there was actually 43 different points that I counted where they had stopped. So 43 different times of, you're not ready yet. And this is kind of like our life. You know, we are put in situations and we're proven through this wilderness journey. Incidentally, another lesson to take from this is the fact that when you get into the land, there were borders set. God sets borders. He has His borders. And there is no one on earth that can change His borders. He set them up for a reason. These things are not negotiable. They're not transferable even between the tribes. So even if the tribes wanted to give it away, they can't. It's not theirs to give. It's God's. And so as we finish the Torah portion, as we close out, you know, it's for us to realize, again, that the three times, the 120 years total, there's three generations, right? To the third and fourth generation it talks about. So we have that time to get right. We have that time to go through our journey. We know that each of the stopping points is only serving to get us closer to the promised land. That promised land, that promise, is that He would one day write His word on hearts of flesh and not stone. And so ends the Torah portion. Blessed be His name, Baruch Hashem.